gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
After reassessing Hump Days with Hal, even though there's a lot of groping involved, I decided to go forward.
Steffi. Oh,
what's that God. Heavy breathing I hear? Why?
Could
well,
it be?
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
Oh, God.
Yes!
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm reassessing the Kane campaign as well.
What a hot mess. I have to say, most spectacular campaign ever. You see, do not know what's going on over there. One lawyer's saying a different thing than one spokesman than this candidate himself is saying. It's spectacular.
See, but I, you know, it's pretty standard fare in your, you know, conservative politician dogged by the very things that he supposedly
sure.
rails against. You know, it kind of is almost like a rubber stamp cliche of those things. Meanwhile, Rick Perry can't get any traction at all. He's standing over in the corner forgetting when the voting day is, forgetting when
the
voting age
yeah.
is.
Did you?
Yeah,
we have
Can't toddlers vote? When did that happen?
I really do think that the Republicans, their only way of getting any jockeying ahead, because they talk crazy.
Yeah.
The crazy talk isn't helping. So what they do is they major flubs are the only thing that get them pressed. So they're standing around screaming, I said something dumb.
I'm dumber.
Like Mitt Romney's like, I stammered like Porky Pig over here.
Do we have the Rick Perry one?
Yes, we do.
Let me hear it. Yeah, let me give that a whirl.
Those of you that will be 21 by November the 12th, I ask for your support and your vote.
12th?
Those of you who won't be, just work hard. Because you're going to inherit this. And you're counting on us getting this right.
Wow.
Huh?
So, yeah, November 4th would be voting day,
huh?
And 18 would be the...
Hey? Like, now I agree with John McCain.
Huh?
Right. It is amazing.
McCain's sitting there going, and I lost in a landslide?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fred?
Why
look
I,
at these morons.
Yeah. Why couldn't I have run against them? At least, like, Mitt Romney... makes, you know, John McCain's flip-flops on his own opinions, you know, it's like he's running for that position.
Yeah, it is really, here's my favorite thing, as Herman Cain said, as long as my wife is behind me, I will continue on.
Yeah, she's behind
me.
We
are currently reassessing our campaign. I'm guessing that he and Gloria had a situation.
Yeah.
Had a talk.
Yeah.
Situation. Something yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So we should get word on that quickly. All right. Meanwhile, it is Hump Days without a happy clap at Liberal House Sparks. Yay! Sex at Liberal House Sparks! And we are December 10th, next Saturday, Fort Lauderdale is our big year-end show, the Sexy Liberal House.
All right, you sexy liberals.
Yep.
Ready to sing your song?
Oh, there we are.
Except the teabagging was a little flat.
Let's teabag again.
Well, let's not overdo it.
What do you mean overdo it?
We want to teabag again.
No, now come on.
Can't we teabag again?
No,
every time we start teabagging.
I would say that's the best promo yet. I think we're really getting...
Now we're getting so thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
You're on to something now. This is...
Oh, there's a Photoshop of us as chipmunks.
Like a lawsuit from the makers of the... the chipmunks.
Yeah.
No,
who turned out to
that.
Be, like, right-wing conservatives. Like, what a horrible
Why,
shock
thank you,
that
Santa.
Would be.
What's that, a subpoena?
Not surprising, but shocking.
Ho, ho, ho. Subpoenas for everybody.
All right, and Friday, Hal Sparks, we're going to have a couple of major sexy liberal announcements.
What?
Yes.
Very exciting stuff.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, and tomorrow we have another big sexy liberal announcement. All right.
That's Thursday then. So why didn't you just say end of the week?
Yeah.
There are lots of
Close
announcements.
Enough.
There's an avalanche of sexy liberal announcements coming.
Yes.
Eventually.
Exactly. Good morning, Jim Ward.
Morning.
Hello,
Jim.
We were reassessing your arrival, and it turns out that you have gone ahead. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
He, in a conference call with his staff, Herman Cain said he's reassessing whether to remain in the race. He'll make his final decision over the next several days, depending on how many lying bitches those several days may uncover.
Right.
If it's a multiple of five, I will step down.
I will survive.
First, I was afraid. I was running for president.
I love this. There's a transcript of the phone call.
Oh.
And he said, now, with this latest one, you know, latest, I just love, it's just latest, latest one. It's latest.
Whatever her name is, I don't really care.
You know.
I can barely
keep
track.
That's like Don McCain, that one. Yeah. This latest one. This latest hoe.
She claims we had a 13-year relationship. I do not recall any of that.
Now you say 61 text messages from me and phone call. I do not. Well,
you know what?
That's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing that up?
I mentioned how I'd like to squeeze her oranges, and she thought I meant apples, and that's a different thing. Apple Bottom Girl is the song I texted her.
It's a different one. He said we have to do an assessment as to whether or not this is going to create too much of a cloud. No, a big harsh cloud.
Well, no, that's your. Your campaign guy, Mark, what's his face?
Yeah, it's cloud.
It's getting a little cloudy.
Or cloud of, perviness.
Yes, the Herman Cain weather report. cloudy with a chance of hose.
Oh, I love this. Too much of a cloud in some people's minds. So if
it's our
thinking,
fault. I didn't realize it was my fault. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. My bad. Sorry, Herman.
It's your own fault for having these dirty thoughts in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Blame yourself.
As to whether or not they'd be able to support us going forth, so we're going to continue until we complete our assessment over the next several days.
What do you mean we, Kimasabi?
But if a decision is made different than to plow ahead, you'll all be the first to know.
Plow ahead.
Plow. Yeah, interesting choice of words, yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all over the place. The campaign guy's like, we're straight ahead. We are going forward. You know, and Herman Cain's like, I don't really know. And, mm-hmm. All right. So the public will have to decide whether they believe her or whether they believe me. All right. Well, I'm going to speak for most of us and say we believe her, pretty much.
At this point.
Yeah.
Because you're just outnumbered.
That's why we're going to give it time.
Plus, she doesn't seem like a liar.
That's why we're going to give it time to see what type of response we get from our supporters. And thus far, it seems...
If they think constant booty calls are okay, then we will go forward.
I don't know what the problem is.
What time? Well, our response is we think you're sort of
you're a lying sack of crap.
Tiny bit of a
you're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Bling. Here is Ginger White, the aforementioned accuser and a reporter.
Are you sticking by your original story that it was a sexual relationship?
Absolutely, and I can only imagine, I can't imagine him actually confirming. It's the name of the game, I guess.
Yeah, by the way, she said she just came forward because other people had already told the media, you know, that people that knew about it had already informed them, and she wanted to obviously get out in front and tell her own story. So, anyway. Newt Gingrich, arbiter of all things family values and moral values.
I think he should step down, frankly, because it's embarrassing, frankly. He didn't even marry those bitches.
Embarrassing to the Catholic Church. Oh, wait, that's me. Sorry.
I think it's a very difficult situation for he and his family. My heart goes out to them. I hope that he reaches whatever is the right decision for them. And beyond that, I'm not going to have any comment.
Yes.
With good reason.
Really?
Sure.
Perfectly.
That's very painful for family when the guy is philandering a hole I've found.
I've just got to kind of randomly make kind of generic statements about it that don't touch on anything that might apply to me.
Frankly.
Who is this Frankly person, sir, and have you had an affair with him for years?
Frankly is my best friend.
We already did that bit. There's a campaign promo for Frank Lee, who has now gone to the top of the Republican field.
Yes.
It's his turn as front runner. Wow,
everyone. You know what? The Republican field now is officially like a scab on the back of your head. It's awful. It's not changing, but you keep touching it to see if it's going to be different.
Oh, we have the promo. Yeah, here he is.
Hello, little lady. Why the long face?
I can't find a good Republican candidate.
Here, hold my stones. That's what I call my divorce papers.
What's your name?
My name is Frank Lee.
Frankly. Frank Lee, you're so smooth.
Newt Gingrich always goes down smooth.
Ew.
Like Frank Lee.
Ew. Ew.
What?
Ew.
Really?
Ew.
Okay.
Ew. Ick. Yikes.
I take it back. I'm for it. I've learned a lot from Mitt Romney this time around. I'm just because it really doesn't matter anymore. You can just say you hate something and then like it in the same breath.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest a constitutional amendment banning all recording devices at any time.
Right. That I will, of course, campaign against as soon as I put it on.
Paper. Or not.
Yeah, or not. Jim has actually come up with the perfect campaign slogan for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney. Or not.
Or not.
Yeah, right. And I think or not is winning right now.
You don't have to have any conviction about me. I don't.
Yeah.
Why start now?
Who are you talking about?
Did you see his reaction, Jim, to that devastating DNC ad? Because all you need to do is just roll the recording device. It's Mitt debating himself. It's on every single issue. It's not even
the easiest.
And Mitt's like, wow, they must really be afraid of running against me. Yeah, that's it, Mitt.
Uh-huh.
That's it. Because this isn't too easy.
They're afraid of running against either one of me.
They're doing everything in their power to make sure I'm the guy.
Yeah, we're afraid of running against both of you.
You're right.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, off to a rollicking hump days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Maybe the dumbest lyric ever. I'm not quite sure.
Yes.
Really? Not everybody walk the dinosaur?
Yeah.
Boom shaka laka laka?
Yeah. All right. At least that's not technically a lyric. It's a mouth noise.
Yeah.
So, and if you're going to start putting those out, then Al Jarreau loses his entire career. The nerviest singer in the world who will actually go up to a bass player who's practiced his entire life and go, like he's mocking them. I was like, I spent 30 years.
Hey, man, I learned to do this. With a lot of hard work.
I was at Juilliard.
You know,
and you come to mind and go,
somebody used to do that bit in some comedy club I frequented in the 80s, but what do you call it? What's his name? Al Jarreau singing John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith. And I still remember it as being very funny.
Yes.
Yeah. It took a long time because there's a lot of extra.
I actually, I got to sing with him on Celebrity Duets.
Really?
And one of the greatest moments of my life was having just sang We're Not Gonna Take It with Dee Snider on TV. It was awesome, playing guitar and singing with Dee. And I walk off stage and it was great, rousing applause. And I walk down the hallway where the dressing rooms are. And there's Al Jarreau walking by himself. There is no one else in the hallway. Al Jarreau is halfway down the hallway, a long hallway like The Shining, and he's by himself, and all I hear is,
he does not do that walking down the hall.
He absolutely did by himself.
Wow.
I will swear to that.
Did he do it when he said hi?
He's a sweetheart. He really is like one of the nicest people. He's right up there in the Henry Winkler category.
You know, that's weird because we just played Shays in Buffalo, and once in the 70s, I saw Peter Frampton in the hallway there, and he said,
do you feel like hello?
He has that thing actually in his mouth.
Talk box. I have one of those.
I made that story up entirely.
Yeah, totally a lie. But I did use a talk box on My Pretty Parasite on the first 01 record.
Oh.
It's about a girl who talked all the time and says nothing.
From Island of Misfit Musical Oddities this morning.
You're welcome.
Okay, come on, we
can go on a BAMP.
Please and thank you. All right, speaking of technology, have you heard the latest controversy, Mr. Apple, about Siri? Why?
Yeah, well.
Is Siri pro-life? Apparently, yes. According to Gawker, Apple iPhone 4S Siri can find you hookers in your neighborhood. Siri can find you Viagra.
But not abortions.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it asks.
This is like the right-wing plot against the sexy liberal show.
Totally.
All the stuff they've tried with us.
Right.
Siri can find you a local surgeon to give you breast implants, but apparently it cannot find abortion clinics. The evidence seems pretty damning. If you ask Siri for an abortion clinic in New York City, it will tell you, sorry, I couldn't find any abortion clinics. A simple Google web search, which Siri itself uses to find results, gives you 7 to start with, some within walking distance of where I'm located. If you ask the same question in the city of D.C., Siri won't direct you to a nearby clinic, but to one 26 miles away.
If you get knocked up, it's your own fault.
Where Where's my Siri? Well, let's see. If the to make matters worse, the
you
iPhone...
You are going to hell, you slut.
You are a whore. Excuse me, Siri? Just give me an address.
Wait, what?
They also, Siri will not direct you to a place where you can obtain emergency contraception if you ask for it. Instead, it gives you a definition.
I'll give you an address. 666 Hell Street.
666. Or... But if you happen to be a man with a Viagra overdose, Siri will tell you where you can go to get your raging erection treated.
Right.
And if you say I'm lonely or declare you haven't had sex in months, it will direct you to an escort service.
Yeah, go, well, if you have the four-hour erection, right. You get an escort service.
Would you like a countdown?
Siri's concerned. Siri's a sexist. Cares about you and your raging erection, Jim, but not me and my contraceptive needs.
At what point would you like a bag of ice?
Right.
There are 17 liquor stores within your area.
Right. Obviously, are your testicles swollen to the capacity where you cannot drive a car?
Obviously, Siri's smart enough to interpret your words and direct you to an illegal sex service.
Obviously, you got stick.
The women who are reporting this think it clearly shows there's something in Siri's programming that is against abortion a day after contraception. Looking at the evidence, hard to believe that they are not right. Yeah, right?
Go suck Satan's eggs, you whore.
Let me ask
you
Siri
had it
right
coming.
Hang on, let me ask Siri right now. Just see here. Hang on one second. I'm just asking her. We'll just see. I don't know if she has an answer. Hang on.
Do you need an abortion?
Siri, are you a right-wing whack job? Oh, shut up, you.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you said there.
Herman Cain for president. Yeah. Is that your answer?
I am reassessing your answer. We will see how folks feel about the answer in a little while, and then my campaign manager will talk to you.
Blow smoke down
your throat. I am reassessing your
Meanwhile,
question.
Here is an escort service to keep you busy.
You whore.
By the way, Jim has a raging erection like he does every morning.
Yes. If you have an erection for more than 4 hours, you might be Sting.
I could take a picture of it.
Right. And tweet it
to everyone. Here are directions to Cedar Sinai. All right.
Directions
searching
for
junk in your area.
All right.
Oh, that's too fun.
Oh, heavens. All right. Noted family values expert Newt Gingrich on the...
Obama can't possibly win an election that's fair. The only way he's going to win is to so destroy the Republican that people decide reluctantly that he is less disgusting than his opponent. So they will run a campaign of astonishing dishonesty.
He won already. Sounds like someone sat on Kermit.
Exactly.
Well, that's just a preemptive strike. They're just going to attack the character of the person running. Not the policies.
Right.
No. We'll come after both.
Exactly.
That's okay.
All right.
Because you're running as a paragon of virtue and you're gross.
Jim, do more. Someone sat on Kermit.
Get off me. You're in my face. Come on. Frankly.
You shot on my cloaca, frankly.
29 minutes after the hour. I don't know. It's weird when Hal's here. It just is.
Yeah, I should hope so.
More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie
You're
Miller Show.
Life, the universe, and everything. There is an answer.
Stephanie Miller.
42 is the answer. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't talk to me about life.
34 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. We are in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks, which is otherwise known as Boy Day. In the commercial breaks, you guys were discussing beard-related things.
Uh-huh.
Your husband said, well, since I came out, I don't need a beard anymore. Yeah. Uh-huh. I threw in a girl joke. Okay.
Wacky-schmackity-doo.
Okay. Beard talk. It really is. It's like a sort of men. Well, and that's what happens during the commercial break.
It was Movember, so... We were talking about our ability or inability to grow a beard. Now, Chris grows a beard during the show.
Yes,
every day.
During the commercial break, he looks like Paul Bunyan.
He was
now.
Clean shaven 10 minutes ago.
He was. He comes in. He's shaving the entire show just to beat it back.
Yeah. Well, one word for that, and that is roids. You know, I'm just
that doesn't
don't get all roid ragey.
That doesn't affect your hair growth.
No.
Really?
No.
You don't know anything.
Yeah.
Just your shrinkage.
Right. No, I that's kid. Cold. You leave him alone.
All right.
He's gigantic. He could crush us all just with a, like, by ruffling his eyebrows.
Hold on while I
wait. My back.
Yes. All right. We continue the Republican field frivolity. Newt Gingrich, wow, he's taken fire from both sides now. Former Republican representative says
Gingrich. Funny, because he says things from both sides.
Yes. Gingrich is an evil person. Former Representative Guy Molinari, yeah. Republican New York, said unloaded on Newt Gingrich. He said he's an evil person who's got all kinds of baggage. Molinari, who works on Romney's campaign, went on to say, the thought that Gingrich could be president of the United States is appalling.
Yes.
For conservative, all,
speaking of a guy who works for Mitt Romney, I mean, that's...
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Conservatives of all stripes have publicly grumbled about Gingrich's record. In the last week alone, Don Imus called him a greasy, repulsive man. Longtime Representative Dana Rohrabacher, a Republican of California, tweeted, Reagan was a friend of mine, and you, Newt, are no Ronald Reagan. Oh, dear. Another Christian leader in Iowa said, Newt is famous for being all over the board. I don't trust him. Wow. Yeah, and when someone that's for Mitt Romney says that.
Right.
He's all
yikes.
Over the board.
Yeah.
I don't trust him.
Out of fear, he can't pin him down on one issue. He just makes, it's amazing. He just changes his answers all the time. Again, oh, hey, Mitt, sorry. See you later.
Woo!
Thought I was talking about him again.
He's, by the way, he's still in the elite, the amnesty soup. Here he is.
It is an absolute falsehood to suggest that I favor amnesty for 11 million people, period. And anybody who says it from this point on has been served notice that they are saying something which is not true, which in itself should disqualify them as a candidate to be president of the United States.
Yeah. Well, then, yeah. Good luck, Mitt.
Yeah.
Saying something that's untrue disqualifies you.
Yikes. Did you hear Michelle Bachmann's? You're right. It's a bid to just out crazy each other. She said that she is for deporting all 11 million, but you have to do it a little bit at a time.
Right.
Yeah. It's well, it's a workable plan.
Yeah. And,
just
and all the jobs it'll bring.
You have to pick out the weak ones first.
Yeah.
Call the herd.
Basically, I'm going to guess it goes on a shade scale.
Yeah, probably.
It's a melanin
yeah,
meter.
Yeah, right, totally.
I have my melanin meter. Could
yeah,
you?
Can you step up? Oh, you're
yeah,
a, oh.
This one's too dark.
That's
yeah,
too brown.
You can't
you
stay.
Go first.
Gotta throw that back.
The peachy ones, you can stick around for a while. I can't figure out what you are.
You must have some Schwarzenegger blood in you. Okay,
I understand.
You can stay.
I understand that Caucasians are anyone from the Caucasus Mountains, so that includes all East Indian people. Well, not here, baby. On the bus.
Ironically, the people from the Caucasus Mountains are referred to as the blacks in Russia.
Yeah.
Because
oh,
of
my.
Their dark hair and kind
exactly.
of
exactly.
Speaking
yeah.
of unworkable plans, Gingrich also said we ought to have local boards that can tell which illegals can stay and which can go.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. That's.
We need to have something like a World War II Selective Service Board where local citizens
decides
would review and certify people who've been here 25
wow.
years.
And which ones going in German camps?
Obeying the law, paying taxes. Might have two or three kids, couple grandkids, be a member of your local church. I can't imagine that America is going to send police in to tear somebody out of a family and a community in that kind of setting. And so I want to get to a common sense solution.
Sure.
No citizenship, no right to vote, but end the illegality for people who've been here a very long time.
So they wouldn't be real citizens, but if you go to church, that should be the barometer.
They used to have boards like that in Germany where they decided
yeah,
if you're
exactly.
Aryan enough.
Yeah, well, that sounded like internment camps almost. We had this after World War II. Remember how that worked? We decided which ones, you know, can stay, which ones in the camps, and which ones can...
Well, the joke is that there's no way to make it work. That's why Mitt Romney was stammering the other day, because once the rubber has to meet the road in this kind of philosophy of we got to get them out of here, because they can't appeal to the base without saying that. You got to just get them all out. That's the only way they can appeal
well,
to the base. But
if you're running for office, for Pete's sake.
Right.
Of course
for Pete's sake, I'm running for office.
I'm running for office.
I can't do that
you're
now.
I'm running my
now
butt off.
Now the cameras are rolling.
Exactly.
For Pete's sake, the only thing I've got to, you know, the only air between me
by the
and
way,
Newt Gingrich
how
is the fact
is that constitutional in a country that believes in separation of church and state? You get to stay if you go to church?
Yes.
What?
Well, the right
no,
church. If you
no,
go to the right
my
church.
Yeah. If you go to your church.
Yeah. If you have the same kind
who's
of
he talking
moral values.
To?
What if you go to a mosque?
Right.
If you're
you're here illegally anyways, probably taking flying lessons and not wanting to land.
If you're
probably,
a Christian
probably
and
got
moral
a bomb strap
is,
you.
As Newt Gingrich, then you can stay. I guess that
right.
would be the bar there.
Anybody that I could marry.
Wow. Wow. Newt Gingrich has called on the president to repudiate the concept of the 99%.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sure. We'll get on that. He said he repudiates the very idea behind the Occupy movement. Okay. that the economy should work for everyone, not just the richest 1%, and called on President Obama to do the same. I repudiate, and I call on the president to repudiate the concept of the 99 and the 1.
Perfect.
It's un-American. It's divisive. It's historically false.
What? God.
You are not going to get job creation when you engage in class warfare because you attack the very people we hope will create the blah, 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 blah,
Libya and Burkina Faso.
And with the help of people like Mitt Romney, they break down factories and sell off the parts and sell the steel to China and sell the concrete to Canada and Mexico, and then they and all the parts of the machinery, and then they take all the jobs and put them in.
There's a slogan from Mitt Romney.
Oh, yes, I am.
Mitt Romney, they love me in Burkina Faso. He's like the Jerry Lewis. Burkina Faso. Mm-hmm. NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds up 60% of respondents strongly agree that America's economic imbalance comes from policies that favor the rich over the rest of the country. So nice try, Newty. Nice try. Yes, we should repudiate that whole. By the way, they cleaned cleared out Occupy LA since we're obviously here from LA. We're gonna, we'll see. There's like 4 injury, dozens of arrests. 2 people were transported to a hospital. The extent of their injuries not immediately known. So we're going to keep our eye on that. And also Philadelphia, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody said, who was it? Cornel West, Hal, that I thought was so apropos. He said, you cannot evict an idea whose time has come.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they're going to try, though. And this has to turn into, and like I said, I don't think there has to be a coalesced message, per se. I think the persistent just being present is actually a valuable thing in and of itself for the Occupy movement, but it's got to eventually turn into Occupy the ballot box. Uh-huh. It's got to be, people have to be showing up at, like, overwhelmingly voting. Right. And that it's got to lead to that. Otherwise,
I keep saying. Get us an Elizabeth Warren. Get us an Alan Grayson.
Right.
Get us some more Barney Franks. Since he's retiring. I mean, that's exactly it. They're fighting for all the underpinnings.
It's an extension of the civil rights movement. It's not about race anymore. It's about the people hoarding money at the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not creating jobs.
Andy Holland. You're calling from Holland.
Wow. Yeah, hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Andy.
Are you at Schiphol Airport, by any chance?
No, I'm not. I'm in Utrecht.
Utrecht.
That sounds fun. I just got back from Gouda.
Awesome. What's up?
Well, my point was that Newt's immigration policy, it seems like it's, a really nice, clever, fun idea from him. He really just stole it from the Swiss, because that's what they do when they're trying to provide process citizenship for immigrants. They put them up to town boards where you have everyone in the town that votes to see if they like you and if they'll let you get a Swiss passport.
Wow.
So
nice.
This is exactly the same thing that Switzerland's been doing. So not only is Newt Gingrich completely out of, ideas, rational ideas, he's just stealing his crazy ideas from other countries.
Which apparently the Swiss got from middle school.
mob rule. Yikes. It's like battle ball.
I don't even want to talk about Switzerland. It's crazy over there right now.
Wow.
But yeah, it's not even an original bad idea. He just bummed it off someone else.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Swiss Miss. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right.
But of course, Switzerland also took the gold that the Nazis stole from
it. Yeah. Went, what? What gold?
What gold? But we're just holding it for them. It's not, we're not
like
living
I'm just
the
holding,
interest.
I was holding someone told me to hold their crack for them.
Yeah. Of course
I'm
you can
holding
have
on to his cocaine.
Of course you can
it's
have a
mine.
$4 trillion economy when you only make hot chocolate.
But the myth was that, Germany, Nazis didn't attack Switzerland because it's too mountainous, like
Herb
Cain.
Like Herb said. That's
but
what Herb
no,
said
it's because
about
the Swiss had
all their gold,
their
and if you blow it up, it might melt. Yeah.
Let me give you some protective casing for that before we blow you up.
I do love the idea that, Newt Gingrich somehow thinks that, it's like American Idol with immigration. That's basically what they want.
Yeah.
These are your American immigrants.
Simon Cowell gets to decide who's more American.
Right. I don't think
that was dreadful.
Right. Your English sounds
appalling.
It's appalling.
It's almost as if you were born in another country.
But since you go to my church, you're in. Now. You with the diploma.
Let's see
and
what,
the 4-5 language background.
Let's
not impressed,
what,
go home.
Let's see what Paula Abdul thinks.
I just think I'm going to birth.
Never mind. She's in a pool of her own sick. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee or getting a splinter or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues. We are you streaming on HalSparks.com and StephanieMiller.com. Oh, check it out. All right. And SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Check it out. We have we're going to have a couple of major now. An avalanche, as you say, of Sexy Liberal announcements.
Absolutely.
One tomorrow, one Friday. Oh, actually, a couple of big announcements Friday. Oh, and then also a major national newspaper is doing a story on us next week.
Ew.
No. Ew. It's all so exciting.
Ew, a story.
A major paper in the USA?
Shut up.
Ew. A story about us.
Geez, too bad it's not coming out today.
Well, pardon me while I go play the grand piano.
All right. Gadget Guy. Hal Sparks is here, so we've already done the story about Siri being an anti-choice whack job, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Your iPhone personal assistant.
You are going to hell, you slut.
Well, I already know that. Sending you directions.
Right.
Gawker writes, hackers could turn your printer into a flaming death bomb. Did you know that?
Yes. Chris was talking about that yesterday.
Yes, there's a lot of horrors in the interwebs lately. This is a very...
You know what the big one is, though? You know what? I don't know why Anonymous hasn't figured this out yet.
Mm.
Why can't they get your webcam to turn on when you go to a porn site? I think, and then have an aggregate site that shows all of the
people watching porn. Peoplewatchingporn.com?
Totally.
I'm sure they can.
Yeah, oh, totally. And I don't know why they haven't done it yet. It's amazing to me. Mm. So get on that, Anonymous.
That's
I'm for you guys.
That's why there's a Band-Aid over my camera.
Right, exactly.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for that information.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, why isn't there peopleRubbingOneOut.com? Why not?
Yeah. Oh, there is. It's called Chat Roulette.
Yeah.
Have you ever... Sad roulette.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, nobody, guy with his pants off. Nobody, guy with his pants off. Nobody. Oh, a wiener.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody.
Anthony Weiner. What? Hey.
Gawker warns us, printers, friendly office servants are deadly ticking time bombs just waiting to explode. Computer security researchers have figured out a way hackers could possibly maybe program your computer to burst into flames from halfway around the planet.
Yikes.
You know what? You better not do this to me, Chris, because you use GoToMeeting to print my show prep on my printer.
That's right.
You are a little passive-aggressive, and one day I bet you I'm going to come in and it's going to just blow it up.
That story doesn't bother me at all.
This is about when she comes into the office every day.
This story doesn't bother me at all, because if I could get my printer to do anything, I'd be happy.
Oh, come on now.
Come on.
Researchers at Columbia University have discovered flaws in millions of internet-enabled printers that could let criminal hackers remotely control them with the potential to steal personal information, attack otherwise secure networks, and even cause physical damage. Load it up.
Blow it up real good.
See, that just sounds like a panic attack for people who are too security aware. Here's the thing.
Well, maybe you'll be worried about this one. Is the internet killing sperm?
No. No, it's not. Well, I mean, once it hits it.
Also from Gawker, a new study suggests that using a Wi-Fi-enabled laptop could lead to sperm damage. Some scientists, however, say a sperm freakout is premature. Argentinian researchers took semen samples. This is kind of icky. From 29 dudes and then put them underneath. Hey, there's a job.
Wow.
And put them under a laptop with Wi-Fi turned on. They also put semen samples under a non-Wi-Fi enabled laptop and stored at the same temperature and with no computer nearby. Result, after 4 hours, 25% of the Wi-Fi sperm had quit swimming, compared to 14% in the computer free room.
Your penis has one of those spinning beach ball heads or whatever, loading all the
That's
time.
Awesome.
Just won't stop loading, and it never actually does it,
And 9% of the Wi-Fi guys showed DNA damage, three times as many as were damaged in other groups. But Dr. Robert Oates, president of the Society for Male Reproduction and Urology, isn't convinced. He points out that most men do not ejaculate, put their sperm under a computer, and then expect to get someone pregnant with it.
Well...
How does he
Maybe
know?
Maybe somewhere.
This is not real-life biology. This is a completely artificial setting. Suddenly all of this angst is created for real-life actual persons that doesn't have to be.
From the Institute of collecting semen samples for no good reason.
Yes, for no good reason.
Yeah.
And then putting
We've noticed that when we iron sperm, they get testy.
See, now, and if there was a...
If
there was a peoplewhorub1out.com, they could find lots of free samples on
their laptops.
Absolutely.
They could just track it using hacked printers.
No. All right. We've dotted off course once again.
What are you talking about? You brought up that story. All we did was go after it.
I know. I brought up the penis story.
You did.
I tend to do that. All right.
Could have stopped it. You didn't need to say the word story.
Yeah.
Okay. In 2005, wow, this looks like yet another...
Right-wing hypocrite!
It doesn't star Mitt Romney. GOP presidential frontrunner Newt Gingrich insists that a national health insurance mandate is unconstitutional, claiming that if lawmakers can ask Americans to purchase health insurance coverage, then Congress could compel you to do anything. But the speaker has, in fact, supported a national requirement as recently as 2007 and in 2005 made a strong case not just for the provision but also for a transfer of finances to help extend coverage to lower-income Americans.
Hmm.
Yeah, having ever done anything even vaguely reasonable, that's the biggest, that'll be the biggest thing to implode your Republican campaign this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. Hospitals can't effectively turn away people when they show up injured.
Right.
So,
it's insurance companies who turn you away.
Right. Well, they refuse to pay, but, I mean, it just guarantees a bankruptcy or whatever that, but at what point, since they can't deny you the coverage, why aren't the Republicans going, you can't force doctors to work for free? They do this as a profession, you know, so therefore they deserve, that's where the mandate came from when they originally proposed it back in the 90s.
Right.
Was the idea that you're making doctors work for free if you don't have it paid somehow.
Right.
And now they're, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Rick Perry on the illegal immigration debate as well.
There's going to be an appropriate discussion in Congress on how to deal with an individual who has been here maybe for some long period of time. But the idea that, amnesty is not on the table, period.
Bring it.
That's, wow.
Yeah, they've all got to say period. Because Franklin,
I'm just as cruel and inhuman as anyone else on this in this race. That's basically what it is. Newt Gingrich made the same mistake. They show a little tiny sliver of compassion, and then they have to immediately take it back.
Well, it wasn't compassion. I was just doing that because people need cheap workers.
Well. Mitt Romney.
My view is that to get
a
permanent residency in this country, those that have come here illegally should not be given a special pathway or special right to become a citizen or permanent resident.
Unless they're taking care of my
lawn. They should get in line.
Unless they're mulching my lawn.
Yeah. They should get in line. This is what he said in the rest of the day. They should get in line behind everybody else. They should not get to the front of the line just because they got here illegally. And then the guy goes, well, where are they going to – are they going to go back to where they're from? Or do they do it from here? And he's like, well, it became like a dance remix.
He sounded like Al Jarreau.
With flops.
Like Al Jarreau.
Yeah. I think they should go back to where they come from, but not now. And little pieces on little boxcars. Did I say boxcars? Who let the dogs out?
It's always fun when Mittens tries to explain how he's not really a flip-flopper.
If I were willing to say anything to get elected, wouldn't I just say, oh, it was a mistake? Because I've watched other people on the stage. When they talk about their cap-and-trade policies, they say, oh, that was a mistake. When someone says, oh, I did this ad on global warming, that was a mistake. And they just dust it aside. And that makes them more attractive in a primary. I'm standing by what I did in Massachusetts. I'm trying to dust it aside.
No, you're not.
No, you said you would repeal Obamacare, which was based on Romney
like
care.
I said, I don't stand by what I said before. I'm brushing it aside.
It's like a Jedi mind trick, though, in episode one.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yes, they are.
Well,
no,
do you think you're some kind of Jedi or something? I can't understand you.
Oh, boy. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch next to co-host Right Wing World as we continue Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook and on Twitter. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boyd, voice of deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. In the midst of hump days with Hal Sparks. Mm-hmm. We have video streaming on HalSparks.com and StephanieMiller.com.
And on the Hal Sparks iPhone app.
Oh, whoa. My God.
Yeah, I have one.
He's
there,
a man
get over it.
And a hottie and an app.
Mm-hmm.
And also a dessert topping.
All it's
right,
true.
That was the Syracuse show. It was that was a night. Anyway,
my new Wi-Fi muffins. What?
I don't know. What?
What?
All right.
What?
SexyLiberal.com. Lots of exciting announcements, including the Hal Sparks hometown show. Our return.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour took the Windy City by storm in 2011.
Vengeance, Chicago.
Because of overwhelming popular demand, your favorite progressive comedy trio is taking it back to Chicago.
Chicago, show me love up in the club.
On March 3rd, at the height of the Republican primary season, insightful satirist John Fugelsang, mischievous heartthrob Hal Sparks, and the stunning seductress Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater.
Bring it!
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Join this record-breaking comedic revolution. It's your best remedy against right-wing distortions.
That's Chicago.
Second City, don't miss this second chance at sexy liberal splendor.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and
all
tickets
right.
are going super fast.
Yeah, they really are. And
super
Chicago
fast.
Chicago Blues All-Star will be backing us up again. So
yeah.
It's a big party in
and
Chicago.
And we're probably going to announce a 01 show, my band, the same weekend. So we'll probably do it the night before or the night after, probably.
I'm sorry. I'm choking something up.
It's very exciting.
All right.
Our whole show, you know, go-go dancers, video screens, the whole big crazy 01 experience.
Can I be a go-go dancer? No?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, awesome.
We're going to have to audition like everybody else.
I'll be happy
to. We have a special thing. The band gets together. We all sit on a couch together.
That's going to the top of my resume.
Yeah.
Hal
right.
Sparks go-go dancer.
I auditioned for the part of one of Hal Sparks' go-go dancers. What happened?
I didn't get it. Oh, damn it. All right, let's go to our friend, Mr. Frisch.
Yay!
Carl.
Frisch. Carl Frisch.
Exciting.
Homefightstrategies.com. Yes.
So inviting to me. He's fresh.
He's inviting and exciting, which is in code for slutty. Hello, Carl Frisch.
I think they mean different things.
Good morning. I just want to get something out of the way before the lamestream media gets to it first.
Yes.
I had a long-term affair with Herman Cain throughout much of the 1980s, and it's not something I'm proud of.
No. Who would be?
But, it came with free twisty bread.
Yeah.
Yes.
And,
sure.
You guys had hot meals together.
Who hasn't done that?
Before the lamestream media gets to it, I just wanted to make sure that I was able to tell my story.
Okay.
Well, get started. I want every detail.
Thanks for that, Carl.
Let's start with twisty bread. Is that a euphemism or an actual food stuff?
Did he actually twist your bread?
Yeah, exactly. Is there cheese in his crust? I want to know for sure.
Okay. As I lay
dying in my hospital bed, Herman Cain divorced me. I think I'm confusing Canada.
Yeah.
All right. Carl Frisch, as you know, what's his name? What you call it? Mitt Romney.
What's his name? That's his other big campaign slogan.
I can't keep all the clowns in the clown car straight.
Right.
He has said that Newt Gingrich is a career politician because, Mitt Romney's been running for president since, 1940?
Yeah.
Now, after being governor.
He's been running for president longer than he was governor.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world.
But that was true of Sarah Palin also.
Yes. Jonah Goldberg on this on Brick Bay.
Those of you that will be 21 by November.
That's not the right one.
Bring
this is
it.
Jonah Goldberg on Brett Baer's show.
Governor Romney's fundamental problem is he wants to say, he tries to differentiate himself from Newt Gingrich. Oh, Newt Gingrich is a Washington politician. He's been around Washington a long time. I'm a businessman. I'm not about politics. I'm not a politician. The guy first ran for the Senate in 1994. He's been running for president for about a decade. And moreover, and this is somewhat unfair to him, he physically, personality-wise, comes across as if he was designed by East German scientists to be the perfect android politician.
No, exactly. Wow, interesting choice of which side of Berlin
Well, I mean, this is the guy that wrote the book about Democrats being Hitler fascists. So, it seems that, you know,
and apparently Mitt Romney is one of us, one of us.
You know, some people's brains are stuck on stupid, and
Jonah Goldberg's
brain is stuck on fascism.
There you go.
But, you know, I think this is great, because Mitt Romney is going to be the Republican nominee, and nobody likes him.
Right.
Exactly. That's what, when you know an ad could be done by either side, that the DNC ad about flip-flopping could have been done by the RNC.
Oh, we haven't even started. I mean, if you look at those Democratic ads, those are ads that are targeted at the Republican base to cause problems for Romney. Right. You know, flip-flopping on issues that would be important to conservatives. Wait until we start talking about issues that would be important to
normal people.
The rest of the
there you go. to the majority of Americans.
Humans.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a simple reason why Mitt Romney is going to be the nominee. I mean, if you look at it, Reagan, George Bush the First, Bob Dole, John McCain, they all had to run for president once and lose before they got the nomination. The Republican Party is remarkably predictable. You know, they are just as likely to nominate Mitt Romney as they were any of the other guys, because this is how they do things.
Yeah, they hated John McCain, too. So.
Slow and boring loses the race.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, this is the same group, by the way, who wanted to vote for a guy you could have a beer with George Bush. The two in election cycles in a row, this was the most important thing. Meanwhile, Mitt Romney makes, you know, Al Gore look like Andy Dick.
I can't believe we said that Mitt Romney's boring. I mean, look how boring the Republican Party is. Since 1976, only one ticket from the Republican Party did not have a Bush or a Dole on it.
Right.
Yep.
And in your latest column, you predict who Romney's running mate is going to be, right?
Do tell.
Yes. Well, I mean, if it's going to be like it always is, Mitt Romney is going to be hated by 75% of his own party because he's not, you know, he doesn't chase after birth certificates and other conspiracy theories. So he's going to have to pick a right winger, just like George Bush the First chose Dan Quayle, and Bob Dole chose Jack Kemp, and John McCain chose the former half-term governor of Alaska. He's going to have to pick a conservative. So I think he's going to pick South Dakota Senator John Thune.
Wow.
He's
the skeleton of Paul Ryan.
Yeah, right. He's got the Washington thing. He's attractive and young. He beat a big-name Democrat once before, Tom Daschle, when he was majority leader. And he only looks slightly less like a used car salesman than Romney.
Oh, interesting. Slightly less plastic.
I don't know. I think Thune, I think if they're running, you know, on the Mitt Romney is pretty ticket, which is what I think they're, you know, really shooting for. I think Thune's a little much. He's a little Skeletor to even that.
I think you got to go Christy, you know, on that.
Sure. He's the opposite direction, though. Do we go bloated or completely emaciated?
Or one of those East German scientists could just take a little bit
just clone him.
And inject it into, you know, do some cheek filling and...
right.
There you go.
Except
all right.
The German Democratic Republic doesn't exist anymore. I guess no one told Jonah Goldberg about that.
Glenn Beck on O'Reilly. Oh.
I know all of them. There's really only two of them that I think really fall into the Abraham Lincoln or George Washington character category, and that would be Rick Santorum and Michelle Bachmann. And after talking to all of them, I think Michelle Bachmann is just the best choice out there.
Mm. Oh, you just said the same thing, about Santorum.
Week after week, I am remarkably impressed that you still get those microphones out to the street corners to record Glenn Beck's rambling.
Where can you get a Glenn Beck soundbite?
Yeah, besides a Greyhound bus station.
All right, Dick Morris on Hannity.
Rick's very good, but of course he's got the same problem Edwards did. He's fighting a black and a woman, and they're interesting as options. But Bachmann is so impressive in these debates. And Kane is so impressive, he needs to get on to domestic policy.
He's so impressive.
All the people that are paying him to do those infomercials are really quite impressive, I guess.
Well, you know, he's been on domestic policy for a while, and perhaps that's his problem.
Yes.
Domestic policy just happens to be the name of the latest woman to go forward. But we always give Dick Morris a hard time. Do you know how hard it is to go on Fox News and get those articulate sound bites out when you have a hooker's toes in your mouth?
Exactly. Yes. It is very difficult.
It's very difficult, especially if you can't get a breath.
All right.
Winded by run-on sentence.
All right, there we go. Steve Ducey on Fox and Friends.
He's proud of Dodd-Frank, which happened after the collapse,
But by virtue of the fact, Laura, that he was the nation's leading protector of Fannie and Freddie running up to the collapse, when you examine the story, if you had to put one face to the catastrophe that was 2008, it would probably be Barney Frank.
No, it's Newt Gingrich.
Oh, for Christ's sake. You know, first of all, you won't hear them talk much about Newt Gingrich's involvement with Fannie and Freddie. But you know what? At the same time, and I love the way that Hal articulates this, Fannie and Freddie was a minuscule problem when it came to the housing crisis.
Right.
You know, I've heard Hal say it in a nutshell in like 30 seconds. The problem was these people that overspeculated, and they drove the prices down for all the people that were honest home buyers.
Right.
That's right.
Everybody on your block, you know, is doing fine. Two houses get foreclosed on because of this Armando Montalongo nonsense,
right,
where they could get these kind of runaway loans stacked against other loans. But then that wasn't even the bad part. The bad part was the betting on them to fail, literally puts on the housing market, where at a certain point you only make money if this thing goes down.
Yeah.
And there was somebody who just went, you know what, we should just pull this pin out and make this happen because I'm going to make a killing.
Yeah.
Quite
literally.
They
knew it.
And let's go hire the homeless to sign off on their foreclosure.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecars. 18 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch returns to finish Right Wing World right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow. Okay, so you're...
Stephanie Miller.
That don't impress me much.
Ow. Does it take to impress Shania Twain?
No. I'm impressed by myself. Fine. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1. Do the phone number. I'm impressed that I know how it sparks.
That song is so offensive on so many levels. It's basically like, I don't need a guy who's good to me or smart or gainfully employed or educated. Just give me a...
Yeah.
A crap kicker who, you know, with some Wranglers on, who will knock the S out of me once a week, and I'm there.
As a noted professor of musicology, Hal and I have discussed this. I grew up on the songs of Bread. Is it love songs?
Yes.
Like,
why? I would give everything I own. Give up my life, my heart,
my testicles.
As Hal said, it means you would be actually a dead homeless.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Eunuch.
Yes. Right. And quite frankly, you'd have it coming. I'm not saying, you know, I don't want to blame the victim.
Right. Well.
But that kind of music has to lead you mentally in one direction or another. It's just not healthy. That's why I listen to metal, because it's all about me.
All right. Carl Frisch.
Wizard.
Sorry.
All right. Yes.
I'm confused. Did I accidentally get transferred to Delilah?
What please? What love
you're
song
You're hosting
can I
tonight.
What song can we play?
We've got Carl calling in.
Carl's on the line, and
this
he
is
writes...
Shania Twain. I'd like you to play Smash My Bitch Up, please.
Right.
Let's smack my bitch up. Please.
Yes.
All right.
Sorry.
It's originally Smash My Bishop, which is a euphemism
entirely
for something totally
not different than waxing. Okay.
Yes.
Hey, everybody. Look, it's Stuart Barney on Fox and Friends.
Millions of Americans, middle America, have lost their homes, lost the money in their homes, in part because of what Barney Frank did.
Uh-huh.
He encouraged people to buy homes which they could not afford.
Shut up.
He encouraged these liar loans and did nothing about them. And all the way through the early part of the last decade, he did absolutely nothing to stop this bubble developing, and he did nothing about it when it burst.
And as an American, I'm appalled.
I'm appalled.
That a fellow American would do such a thing to fellow Americans.
Horrible.
Yeah, I'm convinced, I've never been unconvinced of this, that Stuart Varney's entire role on Fox News is to slowly win back the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
Surreptitiously.
Perhaps if I can undermine the entire structure of what America is built on.
I'm as American as Richard Quest.
Yeah, it really is the talking point, isn't it? Now that Barney Frank is retiring after 30 years of service and trying to get some actual financial reform done. It's all his fault.
You've
lost your house.
It's all Barney Frank's fault. It's not the big banks or the lenders. It's not the people that were speculating on real estate. It's the poor people who couldn't afford their homes once they were over-under on them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and we end with Sean Hannity.
All right, let's talk about the pepper spray incident, if we can show this video here. We have protesters, right? We've seen this. Now that we got UC campuses. I have an experience at UC Santa Barbara.
What?
When, you know, they're obviously upset about... this plan and the use of pepper spray. Is this the right treatment of people? Wrong treatment? Do you see any abuse here? All right, did they cross a line? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I wonder if someone had done that to Tea Party members, what would he have had to say, I wonder?
Right.
Well,
yeah.
If somebody had done that to Tea Party members, they would have been shot.
Right. Yeah. With machine guns.
But, you know, Hannity used to defend waterboarding left and right, and mm-hmm. I always thought, you know, if he was going to be a defender of that, perhaps he should be waterboarded. Now I'm beginning to think he should be waterboarded with pepper spray.
Yeah.
Right.
Along with Megyn Kelly, who thinks it's a food product.
Yes. Right. I'm sure it was served at her Thanksgiving table. Uh-huh.
Well, it's a normal pizza topping. It's a standard pizza. It's a manly pizza topping. Mm-hmm. According to Herman Cain.
Pepper spray on your salad? Oh, sure. Okay.
Oh, thanks. Then
we'll get 999 ounces of pepper spray.
All right. Before you go, Carl Frisch, the Republican duh moment of the day, and it's hard to pick one, but here's Rick Perry.
Those of you that are will be 21 by November the 12th, I ask for your support and your vote.
Okay. That was, what, 35 years ago?
When?
Wow.
Well, I mean... is he still running? I mean, he's got plenty of money, but I really think it's time for him to be put out of his misery, and maybe he can go off to one of his N-word, you know, vacation properties.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. You know, it's kind of like the sandals for bigots, his vacation property.
Someday when women are allowed to vote, I look forward to them.
If you chicks get to vote someday, then...
I want people to realize that he's allowed into Republican debates. But Gary Johnson is not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Actually,
now I'm liking the idea of running against him even more. We just have the have a candidate that has the wrong date for voting.
Yeah.
Rick Perry, vote for me on November 12th.
Yeah, his get-out-the-vote effort is going to be so much cheaper than everybody else's because all the buses will be free a week later.
He makes Ron Paul look like an intelligent, articulate, statesman.
Well, yeah. He does seem like it part of the time. And then the rest of the time,
well,
he's
a loon. Well, I mean, 10% of my bigoted grandfather is
right.
Intelligent part of the time.
It's that cherry picking of history that he and Newt Gingrich both love to do so much. You know, this is what they meant. Oh, thank you.
Frankly, when the Germans invaded Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Newt Gingrich loves to do it so much that that's why he was drummed out of Congress, and he's going to be the nominee? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carl Frisch. See you next week. Love ya.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Yeah, it reminds me of your bit about the Ron Paul being like dance music in another room. I learned something new about him from Gail Collins, that he thinks we should be able to print our own money.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, why not?
Everyone can print their own money.
Well, it's all garbage anyways. I mean, he has no investment in American currency, so...
Used Kleenex is worth $1 million.
But the great thing about gold is anybody can buy it, so any country in the world can control our economy. Nice.
29 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Annoying lady, you make a great point.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller
Show. Cracky.
Please call me annoying lady. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free. Check it out for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. We're in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks, sexy liberal. Jason in Buffalo. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jason.
How you doing, Stephanie? Just when I start liking you, you go pick on my favorite guy, right?
Uh-oh.
Him and Kucinich are the only two I actually like.
Oh, dear.
You know, and I'm not a Republican. I vehemently hate Republicans. But I like Ron Paul, and I think
I like a lot.
Character.
I like half the things he says a lot. The other half, I think, are completely crazy.
That's the thing, though. It's on his political philosophy, there's this kind of... there's two leading things that are you can be kind of comfortable with. I think only Democrats, other than Ron Paul, have put forth bills to audit the Fed, actually effectively do it.
Right.
Only Democrats have put forth bills to get us completely out of Iraq and Afghanistan, other than Ron Paul. They're actually saying that Ron Paul's biggest deficit in these debates is sounding too much like a Democrat. That's what's harming
Jason,
him.
That's right. It's the things that I believe in that Ron Paul says that are the reason he's not going to get the Republican nomination.
Exactly.
I'll tell you, he would be doing so much better if the Republican Party didn't treat him like Voldemort, and he's only thing he cannot mention.
But they don't give him that much attention. Voldemort gets a lot of screen time. Ron Paul gets 89 seconds per debate. And the reason is because he asks tough questions they don't have answers to, and he does sound too much like a Democrat for the rest of
them. Yeah, and Jason, it's when he speaks the truth that he has to recede into his giant cartoon suit. That's when he says things like Reagan traded arms for hostages.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I just want to point out the one thing. You guys spent his own money. According to the Constitution, we should not be borrowing money at interest from a group of central bankers, which is what gets countries in trouble. I mean, that's what Europe's problem is right now, is the interest on their debt. Why should we have to pay interest to a handful of bankers in Europe who are the ones printing our money, really? Honestly, if you really look at it.
I completely agree. My problem
is the solution is we all get to print our own money?
Right. But his issue is that if that's where it was, if that was his central lying issue and that was what he was largely about, that's fine. But the dismantling of the EPA, the Department of Education.
Civil Rights Act.
The Civil Rights Act. The federal highway system, literally, like this, he views them as unconstitutional.
You'd like to rip up the transit. Again, the transit, and then you couldn't get the Lackport.
Let's just look at like the FDA, right? What did they do when all the Fukushima radiation started coming over here? Instead of doing anything about it, they raised the level of tolerance.
Right.
I mean, these are bureaucratic.
But that's different. That's a poorly run organization is not the fault of the existence of the organization.
Right.
The answer is to run it better.
That's right.
Not to get rid of it entirely. Because what do you think if we allow the nuclear companies to make that decision? What do you think the acceptable level of radiation would be then?
Well, I mean, it's like FEMA during Hurricane Katrina. Oh, see how badly this works? It's like, what works?
Well, you put an idiot in charge.
Bill Clinton ran it. It worked fine. You know,
they put morons in charge so that they can blame the organization itself, the government, when it fails.
Yeah, look how bad this organization runs. Well, when you put an Arabian horse trainer
It wasn't the guy. Yeah. Yes. It wasn't the guy I hired that ruined it. It wasn't my decisions as commander in chief that destroyed it. It was the existence of the organization itself. That it's the EPA. Its existence is the problem.
The smartest boy in class today, besides Hal Sparks, which goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission, committee, whatever the hell they are, is in charge of both promoting and regulating nuclear energy.
Right. And
you can't do
both.
Like can't
a
do
good
both.
Idea. Yeah.
Right.
All right. The smartest boy in class, Rich, on all this, the talking point that Barney Frank caused the.
Yes.
House that we heard multiple times in right-wing world. Staff, when Barney Frank became chair of the House Financial Services Committee in 2007, he did his best to undo the damage done by the Bush administration's Ownership Society initiative, which had forced Fannie and Freddie into the subprime market in a big way. The average single-family home down payment was 20% in 2000, but had fallen to just 4% by 2006, right along with FICO scores. By then, the residential mortgage market was already listing and getting ready to capsize. With Obama in the White House, the average down payment is now 22%, and minimum credit scores have never been higher. The Republican lie machine, able to convince otherwise smart and knowledgeable people that the housing bubble was caused by Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton or Barney Frank, when all you had to do was see the crash coming, was to listen to Bush's HUD secretary talking about taking a chainsaw to the red tape for minorities with no money and bad credit to get into a home of their own. Trouble is that by law, the GSEs can't buy mortgage bundles that aren't AAA rated. So with HUD mandating that had to be subprime. Excuse me, the whole industry was forced to underqualify buyers, overappraise properties, and overrate the securities they were bungled into. You could call it greed, but it would be fairer to call it a catastrophic breakdown of professional ethics brought on by the Bush administration for political advantage. Guys like Karl Rove and Alfonso Jackson, the HUD secretary, believe that turning blacks and Hispanics into homeowners would also turn some of them Republican. That's probably true, but giving them a house they can't afford isn't how you should go about it. Barney Frank was one of the few people saying that at the time. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rich, smartest fellow in class.
And the real catastrophe happened when they were bundling all these bad mortgages into it's just making this toxic soup that they exported all over the place.
Yep, exactly. All right, this just in from tour director, sexy liberal tour director Roland. Boston ticket sales going insane this morning for some reason. Don't say we didn't warn. This is for June 5th, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Wow.
So don't say we didn't warn.
That's
you.
That's wicked premature.
It's wicked retarded, and yet don't say we didn't warn you, so hurry, get tickets, because places be selling out and stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be wicked pisser.
Yeah, we have one of the big sexy liberal announcements coming up is we, like the Blob, we're bleeding out of the size of theaters we're in, and we're moving into bigger places in some places.
That's all we're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all we can legally say.
They've built new sections or open new sections that haven't been open since the 40s, and in this case, we are the Blob. We have bled out of a certain theater. be moving to another one. So stay tuned for all of that. All right. What we will do know is we won't be flying American Airlines. We're,
oops.
Or maybe we will.
Oh, boy.
All right. You know what I've decided? Because this is union busting, Hal. I'm gonna be the Norma Rae on my next American Airlines flight. I'm just going to have a big union sign, and I'm going to stand on my seat the whole time.
You just fly Virgin. They're really good to their people.
Okay. Thomas Horton, American Airlines.
You know, great economic turmoil in the global economy and high and volatile oil prices. So all of that taken together created an atmosphere where our board felt that the best decision was to pursue a full restructuring of the company to make us more competitive and successful for the long term.
Union buster. What? It's a way of getting rid of union contracts,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, Thomas Horton again.
The gap between our cost structure and the rest of the industry had become too wide and really just not something we could sustain any further.
Plus, I heard a who.
That's what Horton heard a who. What?
What?
I don't know. Okay. Boy, oh boy.
Did you see this thing with Newt Gingrich when he got a question in one of his little town hall-y things about legalizing marijuana? Somebody said, how do you feel about... Mm-hmm. My question is, how would you feel about having a referendum on the ballot to legalize marijuana in the United States, tax it, control it, sell licenses, manufacture it, and put the drug cartels out of business in Mexico? And he went, well, I would oppose it. First of all, we don't do things by referendum in this country because we're a republic, not a democracy.
What?
Which is that, you know, that's that big Ron Paul, uh-huh. Glenn Beck meme. We're a republic. This was never meant to be one man, one vote.
Well, that's what Rick Perry said about Texas.
Right.
They always had a thing where they could go whenever they wanted. What?
Well, we can leave anytime we want.
We're a republic, and so we got a... There's a note in there that says we can go if we want to.
We're one of, what, three states that have to okay their redistricting by the federal government, but they have more freedom to split than the rest of that.
We might just go back to Mexico. You just wait.
Dude, I'm totally for it. You know what? To put that to a referendum vote, they should be able to have any vote on anything they want in Texas because apparently they're not part of the country in their own minds.
All right.
Great. Vote for everything. And then we'll remove all of our military bases. We'll tear down that ridiculous wall and take all the materials back from it. We'll take all those drones and troops off the border.
Although we are going to bring Schwarzenegger and the chopper and airlift Austin out because we care.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We care and we love.
No, but then Tejas will revert back to Mexico.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger, tell Austin what to do, please.
Get me to the chopper.
Thank you.
Ah! Right.
Thank you.
Get in the chopper. Drop the weave. Get it. And put down those street hot dogs. Stop listening to Willie Nelson and get in the chopper.
We had a great time at Sexy Little in Austin. Hal Sparks coined a new phrase.
What?
Austinite.
Well, I turned...
It's like kryptonite.
Because I was like, you know, all you Austonians or whatever, and they all went, Austinite! And I went, oh, that's the substance that keeps Republicans from being able to enter
right.
the county.
Austinite.
Not Austinite.
Austin.
I lose all my stupid powers. My ability to make people less informed the more they listen to me.
It's like an invisible shield of smart. Right wingers try to get into Austin.
So,
it's like, boink.
I hope
boink.
You all remember to vote for me on December 12th.
Mm-hmm.
It's an invisible shield of book smart. I got it.
I can't get in. What's going on?
I can't get in Austin.
Yeah, it's the Austinite again.
Damn it.
They put some chain around my neck and threw me in a pool.
Now if someone throws a gun at me, I have to duck.
That's the official sound of a Republican trying to get into Austin.
Great. Oof.
My head hurts.
Just like usual.
I just want to hear some
music. Now go back to work.
Hear some music and eat some Tex-Mex, but ow! I can't get in.
See? Here's Rick Perry trying to get back to the State House. And
those of you that are will be 21 by November the 12th, I ask for your support and your vote. Those of you who won't be, just work hard.
You moron.
Because you're going to inherit this. And you're counting on us getting this right.
Damn it, my governor's house is here. Let me in. Let me in to Austin. Oh, what is this?
I'm going to win by 129%.
45 minutes after the hour.
That was
weird. All right. Right back. More Hump Days
with
Thanks.
Responsible for derailing the show.
Yeah.
That was completely her. Just saying. That was completely you. You grabbed the stick and you... Well, never mind.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Little ditty about Jack and
Stephanie Miller.
Two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star.
Steffi.
Instead of Tom backseat of Jackie's car.
Life goes on.
Mm. Yes, doesn't it?
And except Newt Gingrich would prefer life not to go on.
Apparently, yeah. There's a great quote we were just listening to during the break of Newt Gingrich on his book tour when he was pitching Days of Infamy, his book or whatever. He was saying that the Bush administration, one of the problems that they had was that they were too successful in stopping other terrorist attacks since 9/11.
Sure. Because that more first of one, them would have reminded people more, they were good on the war on terror.
Yeah, so they should have let some slip through. That was his advice. So,
show us how safe they were really keeping
scared
us.
People are easier to control.
Right.
Hermann Göring pointed out back in the 30s.
Yeah. Big
fan.
Historically accurate.
That's, I'm a historian.
I'm an historian, you know, so frankly, I know exactly how to do this sort
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah, during a book tour, he killed
I'm considering burning down the...
It was televised on C-SPAN.
By the way, how of all the lies told on the Republican side, why did that not get more attention than he said he served as a historian to Fannie and Freddie? Why would a mortgage company need a historian? That was really just a complete load of...
Houses used to be built with square nails. Some of the wood was often treated with bobcat brains just to make them last through the winter. These
Thank
thatch
you.
Huts were made out of armpit
check.
Hair.
I'll take my check now.
Right, check, please. By the way, this whole thing's going to collapse. Out.
Tells the onion belt story.
Right.
Yeah. Back on, I lived in onion in her belt, which was the style at the time. Frankly.
I lived in a section of the country called the Onion Belt, where all the houses were built out of onion paper.
They had bumblebees on them.
They were traced from other houses.
Wow, here's Newt Gingrich's latest bad idea. You know, there's so much focus on how horrid he is as a human being. I don't think there's enough focus on how horrid his ideas are.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Like really? That idea of letting more terrorists attack through so that people realize how safe they are.
Yes.
Right.
Having the mob from Young Frankenstein decide which illegal immigrants can stay and which can't.
Right. Having this,
Put the candle back. If you put the candle back, you can... You could stay in the country, but you have to go to the back of the line with everyone else, but you don't have to leave to do it. Whereas everyone else who's in line is doing it from another country, but you don't have to, but I mean that. Oh!
Okay, never mind.
Listen to me very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Put the candle back.
All right.
Would you like some warm milk?
No, thank you! Nothing!
Welcome to America. Here's some Ovaltine.
Ovaltine.
All right.
Would you like some leche? Caliente?
Once we go down the Young Frankenstein rat hole, there's no coming back.
Yeah.
All right, Newt Gingrich's latest assault on the Constitution. Drug test Americans before they get any kind of federal aid.
Perfect.
Right.
And then plant drugs on them so we can arrest them.
Yeah. When asked about the U.S.'s failed war on drugs, he declared we need to consider taking more explicit steps to make it expensive to be a drug user. His first and foremost step, drug test Americans before you get any kind of federal aid, unemployment, compensation, food stamps, you name it. Gingrich's first step would likely run headlong into the Constitution. Random drug testing is a suspicionless search, and the Supreme Court has upheld the ability of government to mandate random drug tests in a few limited circumstances, most often in high-risk public safety environments. But
yeah.
Not to, you know...
I think we need government agents in everyone's house, frankly, to watch, make sure everyone's doing everything correctly.
But I'm for small government.
I'm a
small government conservative who believes there should be a cop in your house.
The ability to shoot people on sight. For no reason.
Absolutely. And let terrorists into the country just to let you know you should be more scared than you are.
Boy.
Because so you realize how safe you are when you're not being attacked by terrorists.
He's right. You would be more scared because you would have to realize that there are people in charge of the country who would let terrorists through just to scare you.
Just to make a point.
Just to make a point. Yeah.
So this is the theme I've said over and over again, how far right this Republican Party has gone. So conservatives now going after Gingrich on abortion. We are in a world where Newt Gingrich is not conservative enough. Some Republicans, including Michelle Bachmann, have begun attacking Newt Gingrich on abortion, claiming he's insufficiently conservative
frankly,
on the issue.
I think we should kill mothers who are even considering an abortion, or look like they might be considering it, frankly. Mm-hmm. Just to save the fetuses. Well, of course, once we kill the mother, the fetus is dead too, but that's not the point.
There's frankly, room on the right now in the Republican Party to attack Newt Gingrich for not being sufficiently, you know,
right.
mean-spiritedly right-wing enough. The places where Gingrich apparently has fallen short have been mainstream Republican policy for decades, this is according to Think Progress. In a New York Times 1995 article, it reported House Speaker Newt Gingrich on Sunday supported the availability of federally financed abortions for poor women who are victims of rape and incest.
Wow.
And that apparently, yeah.
Compute says no.
I was struck, frankly. I don't know what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yikes! Gingrich addressed the RNC meeting in 1998 calling for tolerance of candidates who support partial birth abortion.
Wow.
Oh, my God. This could torpedo
him. Well, you could have stopped at the word tolerance and he would have lost the same voters. Tolerance of what? Tolerance
of anything.
Yeah. Jews, black people, Hispanic people.
George W. Bush, no friend to the pro-life movement, as you recall, supported abortion in cases of rape, incest, and the life of the mother, and his father had been an outspoken proponent of family planning earlier in his career. In 1967, Governor Ronald Reagan even signed one of the nation's most liberal abortion laws, which permitted abortion in cases of rape or incest to save the mother's life. But that, in the Republican Party today, no, can't play that.
Hmm.
Have any sliver of yeah?
Well, we don't play that.
No, they do not. No. Wow, this is Donald Trump is piping up again.
In a huge way.
He's always been so right about everything. He predicts that Obama will launch war with Iran to get elected.
It'd be a huge war, huge.
he has a new book, Time to Get Tough, and I guess that would be one of his. I guess he's for that. I guess he's for. Launching a war with Iran, but he thinks Obama will. I can't believe I just started a sentence with Donald Trump thinks. Why did I even... Does anyone care?
Yeah, you just end that with a question mark right. and move
Sorry,
on.
Sorry, I apologize.
Donald Trump thinks.
Right. Apologize.
I lost money in 3 casinos. Huge.
Huge
amounts of money.
Yeah, I was just in Vegas.
Trust me.
I was just in Vegas last weekend, and his casino hotel just kind of stands slightly off the strip, and nobody goes there.
Oh, wow.
It is. It's ridiculous.
It just sits there looking big and gaudy and
comfy. Yeah, you know what it is? It's a giant, like, $4 billion Trump billboard.
Yeah.
Like, for his business failures.
They should just dynamite it now and have it fall, you know, symmetrically into some foot belt, like, you know.
Building 7.
Oh,
it looks like a giant, gaudy, gold-plated cigarette lighter.
Yes.
That's exactly what I was going for. Right. Huge cigarette lighter. Huge Zippo. Huge.
So little time.
That's
so
how much money he made off it. Zippo.
So many bad Republican ideas. Really, so little time. Arizona Gun Club invites kids to pose with Santa Claus and machine guns.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good time.
In Phoenix, the Scottsdale Gun Club inviting people to enjoy Santa and machine guns. What goes together better than that? A family event that lets kids take a holiday card picture with St. Nick and an assortment of high-powered firearms.
Well, he's a trespasser.
Yeah, that's right.
A serial trespasser.
Yeah.
Coming down the chimney.
Stealing cookies.
Families can choose from pistols, modified AR-15s, and an $80,000 Garwood minigun and more. And they're encouraged to test out the machine guns. The kids are.
On reindeer.
Really?
Just, you know, blowing
kids
them away.
Machine guns.
Blowing away like.
Kids testing out guns that are bigger than they are. Wow. Good thinking.
Right. Blowing them away like Burmese soldiers in the new Rambo movie. Just peppering them. Just turning them into jerky with it.
Watch it, Junior. It's got quite a kick to it.
God, you shot me!
Yeah.
I just shot myself.
All right. 58 minutes after
But enough
the
about
hour.
Hinkley getting out.
Oh, right. Yikes. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hit.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Hump Days with Hal Sparks. That's why I sound so husky. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Video streaming on HalSparks.com and StephanieMiller.com. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook, SexyLiberal on Twitter. Check it out, our big year-end show. Yeah, coming up on December 10th. Our big year-end show coming up.
Recount your blessings, Sunshine State.
Oh, you can almost taste the sunshine.
Because Stephanie Miller is coming to South Florida.
What? Is she finally moving to the Villages?
No. The state with the least popular governor is welcoming this year's most popular comedy tour, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. And it's gonna be hot.
How hot? When do you like it?
Very hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
On December 10th, the Broward Center's Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale will host the Sexy Liberal Players, led by progressive beach babe, Stephanie Miller.
The exotic dancer under the name of Marie, the Flame of Florida.
Tickets are available at BrowardCenter.org or by calling 877-311-SHOW. That's 877-311-7469. South Florida, spring break is coming early this season, and the forecast calls for Cat 5 Sexy Liberal Laughter.
Too hot. It's too hot.
And then check it out. We've got, let's see, first show of 2011, Portland on January 7th. Oh, we have a big announcement coming up. This is in February. That'll be on Friday. We'll have a major announcement. Phoenix, of course, is February 25th. Chicago, March 3rd. Madison, Wisconsin, April 14th. Minneapolis, when is that?
Why are we waiting on that one
Boston.
Since it's so soon? Whereas, you know, shows like Boston sell out like crazy.
Listen,
they're in June. And
there's
this
intricacies of Stephanie Miller.
February.
Sexy Liberal Incorporated, I know nothing about. I'm on a need-to-know basis. I don't know how the machinery works.
You never need to know,
no,
apparently.
I do not need to know.
Wow.
I'm told we'll have a couple of major announcements, very exciting announcements on Friday. Well, one tomorrow, one Friday. And then next week, there's going to be a major newspaper doing a story on Sexy Liberal.
Right on. Who runs the decision-making process?
Runs itself.
The same people who do Herman Cain's plans?
Siri does it. It's like the Herman Cain campaign. There's no coordination of any kind.
No. Everybody's... We will have some information coming out eventually.
About something.
How spectacularly hilarious it was that I've never seen this before. He went on CNN preemptively to deny something that hadn't happened yet. So he wouldn't respond because he had no details.
It's untrue.
Yeah.
While
I don't even know what it is.
Lawyer released a statement with no such denials, just saying it's people's private sex life and it's not your business.
Well, it's consensual sex, and that's a different thing.
Yes.
Which I arguably I agree with, as long as you're not running as a social conservative. The minute you attend all these Christian fundamentalist organizations to get it, men are a paid speaker at those things and are not only giving speeches on, you know, the sanctity of marriage and why gay people can't get married, but also picking up women in the audience for those at those very same events and cheating on your wife, then it becomes, if he wasn't married, this wouldn't be a story.
He's currently reassessing his campaign.
Just like everybody else.
Today. Herman Cain's, he must tell Jesus, first of all.
I must tell Jesus.
He must gauge
all
the He must gauge the response
all
of supporters
of
before deciding whether he will continue. He's likely to hear from backers and doubters alike over the next few days. He started a bus tour today in Ohio.
Nice.
I wonder how that's going.
I think it's being sponsored by Ashley Madison. Thank you.
Ginger White steadfastly stood by her assertion in an interview with ABC's Good Morning America, said she was disappointed by his characterization of her as troubled. Yeah, Herman Cain just seems to know an inordinately large number of troubled women.
Mm-hmm.
Ginger White.
Are you sticking by your original story that it was a sexual relationship?
Absolutely, and I can only imagine, I can't imagine him actually confirming. It's the name of the game, I guess.
I'm confirming that you're a lying bitch. That's what I'm confirming. I never heard of you before in my life.
Well, so other people that
we've
knew about this
friends,
went to the media, which is why, you know, she obviously said she didn't necessarily want to do this. It's just it was already going to become public. She said, I'm not here to say anything negative about Mr. Cain, although she added she didn't think he should be president.
That's
Cain's...
pretty negative, I think,
yeah.
When you're running. If you say that about randomly about some dude you knock boots with, then it's not, you know, like, I don't know, you know, Glenn, whatever. I mean, I don't think he should be president or anything, but he's an okay guy. But when you're running for president, that's I would chop
that's
that
not an endorsement, really. Yeah. New Hampshire State Representative William Panik had endorsed Kane at a news conference earlier this year.
Oh,
he changed his mind. He's in a panic now.
He's
changed his mind.
He was telling me that Panik's endorsement was hasty.
And ill thought out, ill planned.
I like this guy.
Vote for him. No, don't. Look at it. Whatever you do, don't vote. Oh, don't vote for him.
Yeah, Romney. No, not
if you
Romney.
Vote for him, it'll be great.
Either way.
No, it'll be terrible.
What's the difference?
Right.
We need a steadier hand at the. All right.
Steadier than mine, anyway.
Right.
He changed.
Nothing.
I'm okay.
He changed his mind after. He saw evidence that she had traded 61 text messages and cell phone calls with her McCain. Suspicious?
Oops.
No. What? I felt like we were being lied to. He said, I'm putting my name in New Hampshire as a state rep behind him, and I just didn't like it the way it was being played out. He feels that Herman Cain
is played out.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid.
Wow. Is this a little sexist much? So John Huntsman called them bimbo eruptions. Is it just, am I being a sensitive chick that this is, why are you implying all these women are bimbos? Just because.
No, that was the Bill Clinton.
Well, I know, but I mean, John Huntsman used, we've got real issues to talk about, not the latest bimbo eruption. Isn't that just, I'm saying it's painting with the same brush, isn't it?
I think it's because you're a chick.
Well,
for
I don't think it was meant to you know, paint any women. It was just recalling the Clinton situation.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, I guess, but it's still.
Even in that situation, the idea is that they're wrong and full of it and, you know, and stupid and, you know, it's instant, instead of, like, he's, there could be another phrase for his eruptions, as it were.
Hello.
Hello. Well, she said that one of the reasons she came out is because she didn't like the way the other women were being treated.
Yeah.
You know, automatically they're liars and bimbos. I mean, it's the same play they run every time, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's
again, if he's single and he's in, you know, he's in a consensual relationship with whoever he's with, who cares? But the minute he's...
Well, it's on top of the sexual harassment settlements and the, you know, sexual, you know, assault claim, technically.
Well, and the holier-than-thou storyline. You know, I mean, he literally gives speeches at Christian business associations.
Right. Here was my favorite thing, is that Ginger said that he gave her copies of his motivational books.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely parting gifts.
Wow.
Did he make her? Did he read aloud from him while
that to motivate
you? Go, here's a copy of Charmageddon.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's pop this in. Always gets me going. I know you probably haven't seen it enough. I know I haven't.
I hope this will motivate you to keep your pie hole closed.
That's right.
In the foreseeable future. All right. Wow. It's another creepy old man. Except besides Herman Cain, Bucker reporting on a creepy old professor poses naked with students for art.
Oh yeah.
Creepy old Michigan State art professor Danny Guthrie recently just finished an art project where he photographed himself in varying states of undress, caressing the naked bodies of former and current students. As is required by the second law of college controversy dynamics, outraged students are now debating patriarchal sexual relations dating back to the millennia, the stigma our society has placed on nudity, and whether they should kick Professor Guthrie's ass.
it's all about the art. That's why I...
Bull, as the whole situation is, I'm taking Professor Guthrie's side as a matter of principle. What's the point of art if not to provide an outlet for weird old perverts to express socially frowned upon kinks while the rest of us point and stare? It's true.
It's just that I have a fine appreciation for the human form, especially yours.
Professor Squeezy. Hello. I'm here for Professor Squeezy McFeelpants class. Representative Bachman on Herman Cain's reassessment. Responding to a tweet that Cain was reassessing his campaign, Bachman opined that Cain's people were evaluating what to do in light of the drop in support. I think the language that's used in the tweet is code language for the fact they're looking at the viability of their effort moving forward. I think they recognize the support has really dropped out of their campaign because of those questions.
Apples and oranges.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Glenn Beck.
She wants him to have a solid marriage like her and Marcus do.
Right.
She said, I've been the consistent conservative in the race, and I think as people have been shopping around for the candidates, I think they're going to come back home. Come back home to crazy. Michelle Bachman. Come back home to cuckoo. Mm-hmm. I'm spitballing.
These are the final days, and I have the launch codes.
It's the final days to come back home to crazy.
The missiles are away.
The day is at hand. We are in the last days. you're a Jehovah God.
Okay. I'm going to cause Armageddon. Yeah. I'm going to speed things up.
My thumb on the button will bring Jesus back like an alarm call if he's been napping these 2,000 years.
Oh, boy. Hey, looky here. Did you see this story? Remember, what was his name? Mr. Paulson, the Christmas poo? The Treasury guy.
Hank.
Yeah.
Hank.
Right.
Hank Shivers Paulson, the guy who came out and went, things are bad.
Mr. Like, Hanky, the Christmas Treasury poo.
Right.
Turns out he, according to Bloomberg News, former Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, who was at the helm when the financial crisis hit in 2008, leaked inside information regarding the government takeover of mortgage giants Fannie and Freddie to several hedge fund traders, including former colleagues of his at Goldman Sachs.
That seems like it should be illegal.
Huh. What? I thought Barney Frank is the one that should be in prison and cause the entire housing crisis.
Right wing mortgage lie zombie.
I'd eat brains, but that would mean brains would actually get into my system.
No, brains not on the menu.
No.
Not Republican side, no. 17 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Representative Jim McDermott, Democrat of the great state of Washington, coming up after the bottom of the hour. Yeah, yeah. We are here with the Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right. Woman charged with the cutest armed robbery attempt ever.
Aw.
It's from the cute crime stack.
Finally.
Bonker. On Thanksgiving Eve, Andrew Lynn Jeffers allegedly walked into a Northern Arizona gas station, demanded money from the cashier. When he turned Jeffers down, she announced she had a bomb underneath her sweater and threatened to blow up the place. But she did not have a bomb under her sweater. When police finally caught up with her home, she reportedly told them her bomb had been a harmless little non-explosive penguin toy. That's cute. Gawker writing, we've heard of robbery by plastic gun, baby, and joystick, but never robbery by anything so cute and whimsical as this.
You know, it's about time. After all the, unfortunately, positive press penguins have gotten.
Sure.
It's about time somebody actually... You know,
used it as a weapon. Yeah.
Well, used phenicicatophobia as a weapon.
Wow, good word.
Wow. Yeah.
Vocabulary corner with Hal Sparks.
Yeah, that's a phobia of penguins.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, phenicicatophobia.
Thank you.
How did you come up with that so fast?
That's a bonus. Wow, you must kill at words with friends.
Phenicicatophobia.
My girlfriend is obsessed with that. She's like, I got a 99-point word!
Yeah.
Yeah, she's kicking David Bender's ass.
Long?
The whole thing goes on and on.
Uh-huh.
I've gotten 138-point word before.
Really? Yes. 138-point braggart?
Yep.
Yeah, like that kind of size matters. Well, fine. It's a big word. All right, Michael Jackson's doctor sentenced to 4 years, the maximum, in the overdose death of Michael Jackson. The Superior Court judge was repeatedly chastised for what he called a horrific violation of trust while caring for Jackson, the practice of propofol for medicine madness, which violated his sworn obligation for money, fame, prestige, whatever else may have occurred. Apparently, a lot of people were talking about that Murray did this documentary.
Uh-huh.
He declined to testify during the trial, but he did participate in a documentary in which he said he didn't consider himself guilty of any crime and blamed Jackson for him trapping him into administering the propofol. So that was part of what the judge said, is that he showed no remorse over,
So, right. So you do the thing, it's not your fault. So, right. Just clarifying.
Yeah, well, first of all, not leaving the room, not having a heart monitor or anything there, I mean, that's just, there's no way to justify that, is there, medically?
Somebody asks you to use anesthetic to help them sleep every night, and you say yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If I didn't do it, he would have given his money to somebody else.
Let him give his money to someone else.
Somebody else would have been.
Going to jail for 4 years and losing their license and responsible for the death of somebody who is clearly out of their mind.
Yeah. All right, Miley Cyrus smokes way too much weed, according to Miley Cyrus, while celebrating her 19th birthday. Last week, she received a Bob Marley cake from Kelly Osbourne. See, that sentence right there, something really has gone wrong with your life. Something, that whole... She said, you know you're a stoner when friends bake you a Bob Marley cake. You know you smoke way too much weed. Now they're saying it's a joke. It was just a joke. It was a joke. Kids. Listen to House Sparks. Don't do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The superficial reporting that Lady Gaga wants a Harvard man with a giant penis.
What?
Huh?
Listen, I just report the news. She said, I'm talking this size, and his dad manages a hedge fund. She's getting very traditional, isn't she? She had to go home and meet the dad and come out of a giant egg in some sort of meat dress or something.
Right.
Lady Gaga reveals exactly what she's looking for in a man. It ranges from a really big to a degree at Harvard.
And that's an either or in her case, not both.
Right.
Yeah.
Either will be fine, apparently.
All right.
I don't, John Holmes or Stephen Hawking, either way.
There's a lot of big... There's a lot of big at Harvard.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that. Thank you for that.
But I didn't know that it was an anatomical thing. That it was just a derogatory term for the kind of people who end up running hedge funds.
I get to see her this weekend. She's being honored at Trevor Live, which I'm going to, the Trevor Project.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah. I am a braggart. My girlfriend's on the board, so there. It's the only 24-hour suicide hotline for gay and lesbian kids, and mm-hmm. they do great work, and Lady Gaga is being honored.
Well, good for her.
All right, there you go.
For just her work of...
We just gave money to the Gay and Lesbian Youth Service of Western New York when we did the Buffalo Show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in honor of Jamie Rademeyer, who's the gay teenager that killed himself, and he was a huge Lady Gaga fan, and she wrote, you know, some beautiful stuff about him after that, and yeah. So anyway, all right, Jim, this is for you. It's for you. You could buy John Lennon's boring to-do list. Earlier this month, a rotten tooth yanked from John Lennon sold for $31,200 at an auction. Now, an even more boring piece of Lennon memorabilia on the auction block, a to-do list written in black ink on a yellow legal pad. Talks about what time the cable guy's coming.
Whatever. Make breakfast. Turn on the telly.
Literally says HBO guy coming. Would it be a good idea to make sure both cars have full gas tanks? Gas. I guess Yoko must have screamed about that or something.
Yeah, two cars in New York City. That's crazy. That's mad.
That was on his to-do list?
Yeah, that was on his to-do list, apparently.
Park them.
Apparently, you don't want to make Yoko mad because she starts singing. I'm just saying. Just letting you know that you can buy that now. All right, Representative Jim McDermott of the great state of Washington next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Is it strictly apathy, or do you really not have a goal in life?
I think this is the music you play when you're walking down the street in a 70s movie and you've just solved the crime.
Got a little bounce in your step. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Jim, a letter for you. Rich, the smartest boy in class today, writes, Jim, thanks for mentioning the mortgage bundles were kept AAA rated by mixing costume jewelry with the crown jewels.
Exactly.
That didn't necessarily fool the credit rating agencies, but it gave them plausible deniability. Another interesting detail about the subprime crisis, 80% of the subprime mortgages mandated by HUD ended up in the hands of speculators with prime credit. They were used to flip house after house with minimal money down, making the speculators money while the sun shined. Mm-hmm. When the sun went down and they defaulted, passing the losses back to Fannie and Freddie and onto institutional investors who believe the AAA rating on the wrapper.
It's called playing with other people's money.
Thank you.
Well, and also, it's one of the reasons why when you're having mortgage issues or whatever, one of the first questions they ask you is, are you planning on staying in your home? Because a lot of the problems they have are people who are flipping houses.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
So all these houses they couldn't afford was because they were leveraging 10 other houses.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you. Exactly. All right. Representative Jim McDermott, our good friend from the great state of Washington, joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you today?
Good. Well, we were actually reacting to the right-wing talking point that the housing crisis was all Barney Frank's fault as a lovely parting gift for his 30 years of service. I like that one. Okay. Your thoughts?
Well, they have to have somebody to blame it on, and Marty's got broad shoulders.
Yeah.
But it's baloney.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, just give us your thoughts on that, because I think that, you know, it really is ironic. But here's a guy that, you know, at least got some financial regulation accomplished, and you know, they're making him the scapegoat of all this.
Well, their whole strategy right now is to deregulate the government as a way of recreating the economy. And the financial regulation that he did was just trying to get us back to some sanity. I mean, we learned in the 30s what happens, and we gradually eroded it over time. And Barney tried to bring us back to where it makes sense.
Right.
And they simply want more derivatives out of Wall Street. They don't want jobs. They want more derivatives.
Do you think the this whole Occupy movement will hopefully result in the election of people like more Barney Franks, Elizabeth Warrens, Alan Graysons? What do you think?
My belief is that you're going to see a lot of returns of people who were very good members of Congress. And I think that you're going to see the Tea Party, the Occupy Wall Street movement being the real genesis of this, because it's just getting started and it's not focused yet around much of an agenda. But what it's tapping is the absolute rejection of what's going on here in the last year and a half under the Republicans in the Congress. I mean, the Congress, if you put our accomplishments on a piece of paper, there'd be nothing there.
Yeah.
We have gone from one crisis to another, all manufactured to make Obama look bad.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm paraphrasing Barney Frank, but we didn't get a lot done, but they're nuts.
Yeah.
The people we're dealing with. Yeah.
And yet the volume that they have gotten done, that the Democrats and Obama have gotten done, is extraordinary on any measure.
Yes, well, they prance around talking about their jobs agenda is the deregulatory bills that they sent over to the House. They want to get clear, or it's the Senate. They want to get rid of clean air, clean water, mm-hmm. and they're saying that if those had been passed, we'd have thousands of jobs.
Sure.
Well, industry could just be tearing up the economy and tearing up the environment, and it's nonsense. It really is. It's borders on being crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, let's talk about the super committee. Chris, what's the? I wouldn't call it a conspiracy theory. I would say.
Well, I heard a report yesterday on somewhere that the super committee was pretty much designed to fail in order to give the Republicans an out against all the demands of the Tea Party. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think there's. I don't know if you're going to find that written down anywhere, but it sure makes sense to me. What makes sense is that the super committee was set up to distract people from the fact that the Republicans were going to raise the debt limit. And they knew they had to, and forever all they're talking about it, they were going to do it. But they had to get something, like a magician snaps his fingers in one place so you look over there, when in fact he's doing something else. That's really what was going on here. They were snapping their fingers with this committee so people wouldn't notice that they were raising the debt limit.
Yeah, well, I mean, and Congressman, it just seems, I was reading a great piece, I guess it was in the Times, but just when you look at historical perspective, you just don't know how we got here. You know, tax rates were 50% for the wealthy under Reagan. They're 35% now. And you know, you, there was a timeline done, I think, of how much Democrats and the president really compromised on this whole timeline with the super committee. And the Republicans, nothing, zero, no tax increase of any kind on the wealthy. I mean, it's not even governing anymore. There's no kind of negotiating or anything with them, is there?
No. Well, you see, what the problem with the super committee was this. Everybody wants to go to a painless dentist. Everybody knows that when you go to the dentist, it's going to hurt, unless he gives you some Novocaine. Well, this committee was trying to fix something, but they didn't have any Novocaine. Somebody was going to have to pay more taxes, and they couldn't bring themselves to say, we're going to have to work on you, the American public, and get this done, and there is going to be some discomfort. And obviously, they were running away from what they saw in Greece and what they saw in all these other countries, where when they put the pressure on to make the changes, There's a lot of screaming and hollering and people in the streets, and they didn't want that. They didn't want to create the Occupy Wall Street movement, but that's what they've done. Because
yeah.
everybody knows there needs to be tax increases, and it's only the congressmen who don't, or congresswomen who don't have the guts to actually stand up and say it and do it.
Well, you know, Congressman, that's why I don't get how this can't have an effect in the midterms. I mean, these Republicans are literally going against huge majorities of the American people that agree with you and I, that the rich need to pay their fair share as a way to get the deficit down. Which, you know, and again, historically, I was looking at polling, it didn't used to be that way. It's flipped, but now a huge majority of Americans think that, you know, raising taxes is the way to take care of the deficit. And you know, here we have a party that is just completely opposed to what majorities want.
The American people are way ahead of the Republican Party. And unfortunately, or depending on how you want to look at it, the Republicans are only beginning to become aware of the fact that they're losing the battle, that the president's talking about jobs, 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 and they haven't put any proposals out at all, is simply sinking in, and people are now saying, we want to raise taxes and get going again. I was teasing my staff. We were talking about, well, let's suppose Obama lost. What would be the first bill that Mitt Romney would bring to the United States Congress? It'd be a $1 trillion infrastructure bill, just like the one that a guy named Dwight Eisenhower brought when he brought the highway system mm-hmm. to be built in his administration. I don't want that to happen, but there has to be infrastructure building in this country, both on the ground and in the universities, and we're simply letting it slide because they won't raise any money.
Let's talk about the payroll tax extension. What's happening with that?
Well, I'm one of those that's a little bit uneasy with that one because I don't like reducing the amount of money going into the Social Security fund.
Yeah.
But the Senate has taken a way of taking some money by putting a surtax on millionaires, which covers it. I'm still uneasy with it, but I can go along with that. You cannot bleed the Social Security fund and then come along a couple of years later and say, well, look, there's no money. Well,
right.
You cut a hole in the bottom of the boat, and lo and behold, you're sinking. I think that the Senate is doing a kind of a halfway job, and I wouldn't be surprised if they try and pass it. I don't think it's going to get there because I don't think these other guys, Mitch McConnell and the works, are going to push anything.
Speaking of Social Security, what do you make of the fact that the front runner on the Republican side is Newt Gingrich, who wants to privatize Social Security? He's a brand new idea, and so is that, isn't it? And that's apparently the best they've got.
Newt Gingrich is going to be the next pinata in their run for the presidency. I mean, he's got so many holes in his proposals that don't make sense. I mean, just ask yourself, where would we be if George Bush had privatized Social Security 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago when he tried?
Yeah.
We beat him then. And we'll beat him again because the American people know. All those people that were working at Enron thought they had it knocked. Boy, they were really going to live the great life. And all of a sudden, what do they have? Social Security. What do those American Airlines flight attendants have when they strip off their pension benefits in this bankruptcy? We know what they did at United Airlines. United Airlines women can work there for 30 years and get a $300 a month pension for the rest of their life because they lost all in the bankruptcy. They lost their pensions. So when people are looking at Social Security as the only solid thing they know that's there, There is Newt Gingrich is sailing into a real headwind.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's proof that they are the regressive party. I mean, you think, really? Newt Gingrich, whose policies failed and he was run out of town on a rail, this is your new idea? This is the best you've got so far on the Republican field?
Yep, I don't think Barack Obama is so lucky as to get him as a candidate in the end. It would sure be fun to have him.
That was one of Barney Frank's parting show. He said, I never thought I'd be fortunate enough to see Newt Gingrich as the nominee for the Republican Party. He said, and by the way, I'll be becoming neither a lobbyist nor a historian after I leave Congress. You have the best man giggle I've ever heard. Representative Jim McDermott of the great state of Washington, thanks as always for your time.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Wow. We like him and John Yarmuth best because they're the chuckliest members of Congress, like Santa's. 45 minutes after the hour, right back to the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this? What's going on?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
I'm outside is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continuing, sexy liberal. And, of course, we're getting into the holiday season, and it's all very festive around here. SexyLiberal.com and Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Check out all our upcoming... Oh, we're going to have tomorrow a big Sexy Liberal announcement. Moving into a bigger theater in one city, a brand new city added to the tour in February.
All right, you sexy liberals. Ready to sing your song?
Oh, there we are.
Except the teabagging was a little flat.
Let's teabag again.
Well, let's not overdo it.
What do you mean overdo it? We want to teabag again.
No, now come on.
Why can't we teabag again? Every time we start teabagging, we start teabagging.
All right. Oh, and another very exciting sexy liberal announcement on Friday as well. So we have lots of stuff coming up, including the fact that it's David Bender's birthday today. Speaking of festivities. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
Hello, David Bender.
Hello.
Time to bend her over.
Remind me.
Time to bend her over and get her ready for some birthday spankings. It's your birthday.
Do I get to give this to you?
Pardon me? Yeah, sure, why not? Happy birthday, Bendy.
It's nice being a house husband. You have such responsibility, but no obligation.
That's not true. It's Stephanie's house. It's quite the opposite, actually.
Actually, it is true. Hey, Hal.
Hi.
How are you, man?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts, Bendy writes, Hi, Steph, don't you get the feeling that Herman Cain will soon be changing his campaign from 999 to 911? Hey! Bendy, in all your years, have you ever seen such a spectacularly awful campaign?
Actually, it will simply be called 9.
Yeah.
It's done. It's over. There is a fork. I'm glad you gave me this opportunity to say that I have been having a 13-year affair with Herman Cain.
Yes. Yes. And Carl Frisch, too. It's so many revelations
Frisch,
bubbling out today.
Well, actually, Carl was there. It was a lot of fun. Here's the deal. This is going to keep happening. Wait for it. You've already seen people like Guy Molinari. You see now the Oppo research that has been developed on each of these guys is going to be heaped on Newt Gingrich. That's the next thing.
Yeah.
Watch the Newt balloon go down in flames. It will be like the Hindenburg.
what do you think Herman Cain, I mean, what does reassessing mean? You've been a campaign strategist.
He's out.
Yeah, I would assume.
Reassessing means he's out. He is currently negotiating with Roger Ailes for a show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm a betting man, and I am, you know, there'll be an announcement from Fox within, 2 months.
Will this be?
He'll comment. That's going to be the really fun thing. A guy who was just in the debates will wind up on the air commenting on
the debates, on how awful the debaters are, and how little their understanding of Libya seems to have developed.
Exactly. I could have done so much better. Wait, what was that third thing?
Oh, God.
I guess it's goodbye to Juan Williams, huh? Because they have their...
or to double their market share in Washington, D.C.
But have you ever seen, in all your years in campaign strategizing, such a cluster of a campaign? He goes on CNN preemptively to deny something that hasn't happened yet, while his lawyer is releasing a statement saying, it's people's private sex life, it's not your business. Oops. While Herman Cain is denying the sexual allegation.
I was actually in the car listening to that CNN exchange live with Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room.
That's a situation. We're having a situation, Herman.
It was breaking news. We're going to, and you know, Ginger White will be coming out within minutes. We don't know what she'll say, but we'll talk about it now. The truth is that there has never been a Herman Cain campaign.
Right.
It was always a front for the Koch brothers. This is a guy who travels around the country on his own. He has no campaign machinery except Smoky Guy, so the idea that he and his attorney wouldn't be coordinated, tell surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and so, you know, as you say, I mean, Newt Gingrich technically is the front runner.
He is.
Yeah.
and
as we chuckle.
That's great news.
That is a technicality with a big asterisk.
I smell a landslide of Goldwater Miller proportions, should he be the nominee.
You know, I think Barry Goldwater and your dad would right now rise. They would rise up and say, we can win this thing. Because if they were the candidates, that they would be the kinds of Republicans that could actually appeal to other Americans. None of these folks, and that's what Mitt Romney is counting on at the end of the day. You may have heard Barney Frank say it. They're all nuts.
Yeah.
That was Barney's quote. And frankly, that is a clinical term for nuts.
Well, that's what he said. He said, you know, people in Congress, they either think like Michelle Bachmann or they're going to be primaried by someone that thinks like Michelle Bachmann. I mean,
right.
But
what we saw in these last elections just a few weeks ago in Ohio and Mississippi and what we're seeing now with the recall in Wisconsin, the tide has turned again. They have overreached so dramatically that what's going to happen now is a lot of those Tea Party freshmen, the ones who run without any plan, any platform, any ability to come in and provide constituent service, they're one-termers. They're going to be gone.
Yeah.
And there's a good chance that a lot of those very same people, the ones who won those primaries 2 years ago, will either be primaried themselves or will simply lose because they're incapable of serving the public. And that's what they've proved.
Well, yeah. It's beyond capacity. It's desire, too. There's no point where these guys actually want to. You're running to be elected to office that they don't even think should exist in the first place.
Well, that's right. They're Grover Norquist.
Right.
They are people who simply want to drown this thing in the bathtub. And, you know, if that's what they want, I'm in favor of filling up the tub for them. you know, that is how you've nailed it. The philosophy of the Tea Party Republicans is government is bad. Put us in charge of it.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. David Bender, speaking of exciting announcements, you and I may have one tomorrow, I'm told. Maybe
what?
People should tune in tomorrow and
you're
find
getting
out.
Married?
You know, this keeps getting better and better and
doesn't
better.
It?
I can't wait.
I'm such a big teasy whore. All right,
you
David
are?
Bender. Happy birthday.
Love you all.
Love you,
happy
honey.
Birthday.
Thank you, Hal Sparks. Mm-hmm. I love you.
Thank you. And by the way, Rip Patrice O'Neill is very sad that he passed this week. I wanted to say that because he was a pretty, really good guy. Just wanted to mention that.
All right. Thank you, Hal Sparks. Yeah. Thank you, Jim Moore. Thank you, what's your name? Crystal Boy. Yeah. I don't know. And Rebecca Taylor, mostly. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.